Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Hear this good word. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Welcome. It's a holiday weekend. Welcome. We're glad that you chose to come to worship this morning. I know many of you are leaving your homes this morning, and you're coming to worship as we anticipate the beautiful fireworks we'll see this weekend. We were hearing them last night about midnight at our house. As we fire up the grill and we share with friends and family, as we go to the lake and we ski and we swim and we hike and we bike and we do all of the things that we do over this holiday weekend. We come here this morning being thankful for this country, for our freedoms, our freedom to live as we wish, our freedom of speech, our freedom to choose to be here and worship as we see fit. We are thankful for clean running water and so many things, we cannot list them all. We must always remember to be thankful and grateful for every opportunity that we are given, even the things we take for granted every day, like a cup of cold water. I know y'all may get sick of this one of these days, but I kind of like words. And if I'm going to talk to you about a word, I usually look it up and see where it came from, because sometimes they're kind of interesting. If you noticed in the scripture I just read, Jesus uses the word welcome, not once, not twice, six times in two verses. Originally, it could have meant something like this. I invite you to come closer, or inside, and warm up by the campfire or the stove. Share some of my food. If you do, I imagine you're going to feel better. I thought that was an interesting way to describe welcome. I hope you feel better. It is more than likely that the word refers to God. God in more than one religion is the ultimate guest. If we think back to our Old Testament, we remember that God came in different ways to people. God is also the source of our wellness and of our will. The first syllable, well, could mean either or both, wellness and will. Well, in our part of the country, some of us are from the South. I can go into my Texas talk if you want me to. Welcome means we are so glad you are here and that you came to see me. Our arms are open to greet you, not just our friends, but those we don't know. At this church, every Sunday morning, we have people. Jeff Brown looked really good in his neon vest this morning on the parking lot. You know, people are out on the parking lot. They're at the welcome centers. They're at the doors. They're greeting. They're welcoming. They're saying, thank you for coming here. They're answering your questions, giving you directions. We are so blessed. But we always need more people, don't we, Connie? We're always looking for more people to volunteer. So if you're interested in being a part and showing hospitality and how welcome people are, please let us know. As we came in this morning, Some of you may not have got a glass of cold water, but you got a cup of coffee. And we said, come on in, come in and sit down and worship God with us today. As we just read, Jesus tells his disciples, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Like ambassadors in a foreign country, the disciples were to be the embodiment of Jesus and by association of God to those they would meet and live among. Well, I always have to think of some kind of wild story to tell. And as I was thinking about what I'd been reading, it reminded me of Emily going to camp for the first time at Tanico. Anybody in here ever been to Camp Tanico before? Anybody? A few. It is a wonderful camp. Well, okay. Emily is about 8 years old, getting to go to camp for the first time without and going somewhere without her family. So we get her, I start getting her ready, doing my Beth motherly thing, you know. Okay, Emily, here is your toothbrush and your toothpaste. Remember to brush your teeth twice a day. Here is your soap. Remember to take a shower. Here is your clothes. Make sure you change your clothes, because when I was a camp counselor, every once in a while you see some kid that just wears the same clothes every day, and you know by the end of the week they need a shower and clean clothes. So I said, you know, put in the bathing suit, the Bible, the everything. You go through the long list, and I have her so prepared, as every mother thinks. We take her to Tanico, and she's a wonderful trip, wonderful time with all of her friends. She said, oh, she's just chatting so much in the car about everything she did and all the new friends she made. And I was so proud of her and so excited. And we get home, and I open her suitcase and start to unload it, and everything is a crumpled mess except the corner of perfectly folded bath towels. I said, Emily, did you take a shower all week? And she looked at me as serious as she could and said, Mama, we went swimming every day. So another lecture she got, but she did go swimming. Well, in the midst of their mission of representing Christ, the disciples were to concentrate their best and their most literal efforts on modeling Christ in their relationships with new people, but starting with the disciples themselves, with each other. Jesus was giving the disciples basically their marching orders, just like I had given Emily. He was instructing them how to go into a community knowing that some people would be open and some totally not open to what you have to say. Jesus said, don't waste your time with them. Just brush off your sandals and move on to the next town if they don't want to hear you. Well, it may seem like this is a little thing, but to us today, Jesus challenges us to offer our guest a cup of cold water. But in Jesus' day, a cup of cold water was a big deal. Drinking cold water was a rare pleasure. It didn't happen all that often. And when it did, it tasted so good. Drinking cold water meant that someone had gone to a lot of trouble for you. Running water, of course, had not been invented, nor had refrigeration. A household water supply came from a village well. It started out cool early in the morning when someone, usually one of the women or young girls, would pick up the clay jar and walk to the water well, which could be a long way off and not a safe journey. They filled it and they carried it, placed it on their heads, and walked back to their home. It had to have been tough. She would set the heavy clay jar in a shady place in the house. As the hours went by, the cool, crisp, fresh drinking water taste began to change. By late afternoon, when most thirsty guests would arrive, you were lucky if there was water left, much less cool water. At that day and time, a room in the first century Palestinian house was very thick walled, and they still are today. The temperature would be cool in the morning, but as the day went on, it got warmer and warmer and warmer. It would be like our houses without air conditioning. So when guests would arrive, you were at the hottest point. If someone brings a cup of cold water to one of the little ones, it means she gets up, runs to the well, comes back with fresh, cool water. A special trip, one more trip in the day. Special effort for honored guests. That's not a small thing at all. Drinking cold water was healthier than drinking water that had been sitting around all day. Today's refrigerated water supply and our coolers in the hall, in our refrigerators, we have access to cold water easily. We take it for granted, don't we? But we've forgotten something important, something about our ancestors would have known way too well. And I'm not sure this has to go back too many generations. Those familiar appliances arose out of a need. The need for sanitary drinking water in our cities, where typhoid was very prevalent, was continuing and was around and very much a reality. Have you ever really been thirsty? I could use a drink of water right now. Most of us have been thirsty but knew that we could get a drink. I can see it. It's sitting right there. You know? But we take it for granted. We know it is there and we feel it is safe water to drink. I've really never been worried about the water I drink. Many people around the world worry about it every day. For many years, the Methodist churches around the U.S. and around the other countries have gone to places in Africa and other countries that need them to dig water wells. Many churches have helped pay for those. But if you can have a fresh well close to your house where the water is safe, your village thrives. We take those things for granted, don't we? We panic and go crazy when our water lines freeze. Has anyone ever had your water line freeze to your house? You're not going to believe where Kurt and I had a water line freeze. When we first came out of seminary, we lived in Magnolia, Arkansas. And some of you around here know that that's the way they talk down there because it is the South. Well, Magnolia should not have 20-something days under 20 degrees. Doesn't happen. We lived in a parsonage, and our water well, went underneath our driveway. But it wasn't buried but about this deep. Well, we had a young baby, real young baby with us, and our water line froze, and it stayed frozen for 10 days until they finally came and blew it out. I was very concerned, and we felt weird. We didn't have easy access to get to a bathtub. You know, it was those things. But I really wasn't in danger. The people next door kept bringing us water. We had water. But we take it for granted. Let's look for a minute at the last verse we had in today's scripture. Jesus challenged the disciples and those around him, and he also challenges us today. Whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of the little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. As I think about the identity of the little ones, I remember a story that Kurt has shared with me many times that I can't forget. He and his father loved to fish. And it was a hot summer day and they had gone fishing. They were in their favorite spot very early one morning while it was still cool. When they began to get warmer and the sun began to beat down on them, they had a big stringer of fish already, I'm assuming, because Dub, Kurt's daddy, can fish. And they decided it was time to go home. They landed their boat on the dirt bank, just as they always did. And Kurt noticed that sitting over on the side was an elderly man sitting and fishing with his cane pole. He was very bent over, and he looked uncomfortable. Kurt could tell he was hot and maybe not catching any fish. Well, Kurt was just probably 10 or 12 years old at the time. He walked over to the dirty sink where fishermen came and cleaned their fish to rinse off his hands. And when he walked up, the elderly man looked at him and asked his permission for a drink out of the filthy faucet. He felt he had to ask permission before he could have a drink. Kurt answered him by saying, "Just a minute. Just a minute." And he ran over and grabbed their thermos full of cold ice water and took it to the man. He took a drink and handed it back to Kurt. Kurt looked over at his dad, and his dad nodded his head. Kurt ran back and handed him the old blue thermos that had gone fishing with them for years and said, "Keep it. It's going to get hotter today and you'll need more to drink." As they got in their truck, they could hear a man sitting on the bank now singing gospel hymns and fishing. It's the little things we do that make a difference. A few weeks ago, I got to watch a little 7-year-old girl on her birthday get her first haircut. I got to watch some teenagers get the latest style haircut, you know, where it's all buzzed on this side and long. And then I saw an elderly lady get a really short haircut so that her cap at work would fit better. I'm thinking about this year for our vacation Bible school for our children. They're going to be in mission and ministry every day. If you haven't signed up to help or to bring supplies, please do. They're going to be doing things for other people, for the little ones. Remember Samaritan's Feet. Sign up for it. All of these things make a difference. Remember Second Street Pantry. I could stand up here for about 40 minutes and we could keep naming things. One of the things we can do is shake someone's hand this morning that we don't know. One of the things we can do is shake someone's hand or say, "Hi, how are you?" as you're standing in the checkout line. Remember, it's all about making a difference with the little ones. Jesus tells us this morning, whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of the little ones is my disciple. This morning, as Ken told you earlier, we have cold water bottles in both ice chests on either end. We invite you to take one with you as you walk by for communion. I want you to feel that cold water bottle. And as you feel it, I want you to think that Jesus loves you. But I also want you to think that Jesus challenges us to love other people. And it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be a little thing that makes a difference in someone's lives today or tomorrow. Keep your eyes open and remember, we are God's hands and feet in this world every day that we live in.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.